Gracious Father, as we've just sung about your sovereignty over us, you're worthy of our praise. As we heard about testimonies, how you work when we go through hard times. You are at work in our hearts, in our lives. You are reinforcing the truth of your word deep within us. Because you are working for our good. You are accomplishing a purpose that we do not fully understand and comprehend. And yet, because you are sovereign and because you are all wise and ever loving, you are working that plan out through the circumstances we walk through the junk that happens to us, the world in which we live that is filled with sin and sinfulness. You're working through us who are sinners to accomplish a grand purpose that will bring glory to your name, that will build up your people in the kingdom of God. We're thankful that we can be part of that, that we experience the work of God in our lives. And so today we ask that you would guide us in the truth, that you would sanctify us with the truth, your word is truth, and you would cause us to be conformed into the very likeness of Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Erich Weihenmayer is blind, and yet on May the 25th, 2001, he reached the peak of Mount Everest. Suffering from a degenerative eye disease, he lost his sight when he was only 13 years old. But that didn't stop him. On a mountain where 90% of climbers never make it to the top, and 165 have died trying since 1953, Erich succeeded, in large measure because he listened well. He listened to the little bell tied to the back of the climber in front of him so he would know what direction to go. He listened to the voice of teammates who would shout back to him, "Death fall 2 feet to your right," so he would know what direction not to go. He listened to the sound of his pick jabbing the ice so he would know where the ice was safe to cross. The lesson is this. When we take a perilous journey, listening well can make all the difference. Following Christ in this world is a perilous journey. If we don't listen well, we'll be following the wrong path. And if we don't listen to the right instructions, we could find ourselves dangling off the cliff. The Apostle Paul was very aware of the perilous journey that his young protege Timothy was on. And he gave him a critical reminder. One that is good for us to hear today as well. And we find that in 1 Timothy chapter 4. So if you haven't already, would you please open your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4. You'll recall the Apostle Paul left Timothy, again his young protege, in Ephesus when he continued on his journey because Timothy was to stay there to kind of right the ship. There was a young church in the city of Ephesus. And that church had kind of moved off course. And so Timothy was left to get things back on track. to make sure the church was set up so that it could continue on in a good path. And so he talked in the first chapter about the importance of right instruction. And he talked about the importance of right roles within the context of the body, the local church, between men and women, and where how they were to function as God intended within the context of the church. And then he talks about the character of those who were appointed and set apart to be spiritual leaders within the context of the local church, and that critical nature of the character of these men. And then we move into chapter 4, and we see that Paul turns his instruction from primarily to the church general to specifically Timothy as a young leader, spiritual leader in the church. And last week we looked at verse 12 and saw that Paul was reminding Timothy not to become discouraged by those who thought he was too young to be in this role of authority and responsibility. And then he said, show them by your example in the things that you do, right? Your speech, your conduct, your faith, your love, your purity. Demonstrate for them spiritual maturity, even though they think you're too young to be in this place. Show them by your example. And then he continues in his instruction here in verses 13 through 16 to give Timothy some critical, important instruction that will help him. And certainly it is helpful for us today to understand this if we are going to be a church that follows Christ, both as individuals as well as collectively, individuals who make up this local body of believers. He's basically telling him, make sure to keep the Word of God central to everything you do. The importance of the Word. Listen to his words, 1 Timothy 4:13 through 16. Paul says, until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed upon you through prophetic utterance with a laying on of hands by the presbytery. Take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them, so that your progress may be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourself and to the teaching. Persevere in these things. As you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. He's saying, Timothy, make sure to keep the Word of God central. Not only in your role as a spiritual leader in the church, but also in your own personal, individual life. So as we think about that in regards to our own context and our own situation, right, the admonition is this, that we must keep the Word central in all that we do. And so first of all, his instruction is regarding more public ministry. And so the first point here is give attention to the public ministry of the Word. Give attention to the public ministry of the Word. The word give attention there means to give heed to. It means to make it a priority. Make it a priority. And of course, this is in the context of the gathering of the local church. And there are three areas that he highlights that we are to give attention to as we gather together. The first is the public reading of Scripture. The Word should be read publicly. The public reading of the Word of God is an important part of our corporate worship. We are giving collective attention to the written Word of God. We state as one of our core values that the Word of God is our final authority. And because of that, the public reading of it reinforces the foundation of God's Word within our lives individually and collectively. And so we cannot just say, well, this is what we believe and not do it. Because it is, the Word is the final authority, then everything we do needs to be centered on that. And so we want to continue to read the Word of God, to continue to lay the foundation for us as a local church, that the Word of God is the truth. And we build our lives upon that as a church. And we do so individually because the church is made up of individuals. Just as the private reading, personal reading of the Word of God is critical for you and I in our individual walk with Christ, so the public reading of Scripture is important in the context of the church. And so he says, give attention to that. Secondly, he says, give attention to the exhortation. Exhortation is the act, means the act of calling toward for the purpose of help. It is the idea that when it comes to the Word of God, the idea is that we call people to take the Word and bring it near to us because the Word helps us. Just as we heard in both testimonies, the Word of God is what God used to bring help and hope and encouragement. Because the Word of God is the truth. And so the Word should be applied personally in our lives. My role as the preacher of the Word of God is to call you and myself to apply the Word of God in our own personal lives. I can't make you do that. All of us have to take responsibility for that. But my responsibility in this role is to call you to that. To teach the Word and to call you to the application of that in your personal lives. And we're going to talk a little bit more because Paul then goes and does that with Timothy in the as he continues in this passage. So the Word should be read publicly. The Word should be applied personally. And thirdly, the Word should be taught appropriately. The word teaching means to speak. It speaks of instruction on the meaning of the text, to give an explanation of what the Word is saying. And again, my role as the preaching elder of the church is to instruct you in the meaning of the Word of God. In order for me to do that, I must take time to study the Word of God. That has to be an important part of my role. In fact, Warren Wiersbe says, in regards to this, ministering the Word was not something Timothy was to do after he had done other things. It was to be the most important thing that he did. It is a grave responsibility that is placed upon those who occupy this position to make sure to prioritize the study of the Word of God in preparation for the preaching of the Word of God. It is also a grave responsibility upon the local church to make sure to give the pastor the opportunity to have time to do that. And I want to commend you because you have done that for me. And one of the great practical examples of that is that you have put money toward the hiring staff people, right, like Rick and Jordan and now recently Mark, to be able to take things that would otherwise fall on my shoulders to make sure happen. So that frees me up to give more time to the study of God's Word and to doing that so that I can have a better understanding and be able to more fully and appropriately teach the Word of God. Why? Because the Word of God is what transforms lives. Again, as we heard in these testimonies, I did not prompt them to say what they said. That's the Holy Spirit. But the reality is, it's the Word of God the Holy Spirit uses in our lives to minister deeply to us. And so we've got to know what the Word of God says. And so again, my role is to do that. And let me just take a moment. I think it's appropriate for me to maybe state my commitment to you. And I will do it in this way. And I realize that there will be a day coming, I don't know how long, but there will be a day coming when I will step out of this role as the preaching elder of this church. And someone else will step into that role that God has raised up and equipped to do that. It's never about a person. It's always about Christ and the work He's doing through people. And those people come and go. So I realize that one day, I don't know when that will be, but one day. But here's my commitment to you. As long as I have the capacity to speak, as long as I have the confidence of the elders, as long as I have the privilege to stand in this pulpit, I will do my best by God's grace, through His gifting, to preach the Word of God faithfully. That's my commitment to you. And I thank you for your prayers. I can tell you this, because I've spoken other places to other groups of believers. I don't know I can explain this, but I feel a greater sense of God's Spirit empowering me to preach here to you. And I believe it's because of the faithful prayers of you for me that allow me the freedom to preach the Word of God without hindrance. That's not always the case when you go other places, right? Because those people don't know you as well, and they're not faithfully, consistently praying. And so there is a relationship that that God has established that, again, is not dependent on an individual, but it's dependent upon God supplying certain individuals in certain roles and working in the body of Christ. But we must make sure that we as a church give attention to the public ministry of the Word. And here are three ways: reading publicly, applying it personally, and teaching it appropriately. Then the rest of the passage here, in these last couple verses, he focuses attention on the personal application. And so we need to give attention to the personal application of the Word. Paul's words are particularly to Timothy, but it applies to all of us. And he says, first of all, do not neglect the spiritual gift. Do not neglect your gifting, he says. Timothy had been given a spiritual gifting which enabled him to serve according to the calling. He was called by God to serve in a place of spiritual leadership. Paul left him there in Ephesus for him to use his spiritual gift in leadership there at that time. God confirmed that gift through both the prophetic utterance and the laying on of hands of the presbytery. The laying on of hands of the presbytery was simply a word that you used for the eldership as a whole. And they confirmed what they saw as a spiritual gifting on Timothy by laying hands upon him. It would be much like an ordination today, if you will, where a group of spiritual leaders vet a person to make sure that they have a grasp of the Word of God, that they are orthodox in their thinking, that they demonstrate in some ways the giftings necessary, and they lay hands on or acknowledge in some way that person, that they recognize that person in that way. The prophetic utterance is a little harder to understand, to be honest with you. Theologians, commentators kind of go back and forth. And the fact of the matter is we just don't know exactly what Paul was talking about. We weren't there. We don't know. It could have been somebody who had a spiritual gift of prophecy of some kind at that time, could have spoken words over Timothy that affirmed God's call upon his life. It could have been Paul recognizing, just because he knew Timothy well and saw the giftings demonstrated, could have spoken things over him. It could have been Timothy sensing the call of God and in a sense, maybe not hearing an audible voice, but knowing the voice of the Holy Spirit within him and that call upon his life. We just don't know what it was. I know in my own life that there was a very particular call of God upon my life at a moment in time. Some of you have heard me share that. I'm not going to go into all of that today. We don't have time. But a few weeks ago, I referred to an elderly woman in my church when I was a teenager. We called her Aunt Jessie. She spoke into my ear one Sunday morning, God has big plans for you. God has something special for you. I don't know exact words, but that was the gist of it. Was that a prophetic utterance? I have no idea. It may have just been an elderly woman who had love in her heart, who loved God and wanted to encourage a young man, but God used it. When he got a hold of my life and I surrendered to serving the Lord or living for Christ, God brought back that word that was spoken to me and re-encouraged me with that. God clearly called me to be a pastor one day at camp when I was singing praises to God. God confirmed that call by my father, who God directed him to have the same understanding of what God was doing in my life. And when he confirmed that to me after I shared with him what I believe God was calling me, other people spoke into my life and said, we believe we see giftings in your life. After going to seminary, the seminary recognized that. Getting confirmed by the elders of my home church. And all of these things were all could be considered prophetic utterance. I can tell you this. Those things have been helpful to me when I've been discouraged. And I thought, what am I doing? Am I supposed to be doing this? Am I right for this? Am I called to this? All those things. And I remember back the very clarity of all those things that God used to confirm. I say all that simply to say, Paul is saying to Timothy, do not neglect the spiritual gift that God has given you, that has been confirmed to you more than once. And literally, the way the Greek is constructed here, it's as if Paul is saying to Timothy, stop neglecting it. It's possible that Timothy was trying to do all of this ministry in his own strength, in his own ability. And Paul is saying, stop it. God has provided for you a gifting by the Holy Spirit that people have acknowledged and has been confirmed by spiritual leaders. Trust the Holy Spirit when working your life to do this. I've had to be reminded of that. One of the dangers of being in ministry is that you try to do it yourself. You try to change people's hearts by the words that you speak and by the way that you try to do things in their life. We don't have the power to do that. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And he chooses to work through his servants, through giftings. Not everybody has a proclamation gift. That is, not everybody is called and gifted to preach and teach the Word of God publicly. But everybody who is a follower of Christ, who's put their trust in Jesus, has been given a spiritual gift. And that spiritual gift is for the common good of the body It's not for individuals to use for their own benefit. It is for the body of Christ. Romans 12, Paul tells us this in verse 7. To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And then he says in verse 11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. It is God's will and God's purpose to give certain gifts to certain people for certain purposes in the service of the body of Christ. But it's all so that the body is built up. To one is given the gift to teach the word of God. To one is given the gift of helps. To another is given the gift of administration. To another is given the gift of service. Why? So that when every person does what they've been gifted to do, their body functions like it's supposed to. And it's a beautiful thing. And so the admonition is, do not neglect the gifting. And I think all of us need to step back and say, okay, God, if you've already identified for me what my spiritual gift is, I want to use that gift for the service of the body, and I want to use it appropriately. Giftings are always to be brought under the authority of God's word and under the authority of the structure of the church. And I have come across people who say, well, I have the gift of prophecy. And what they mean by that, sometimes I don't always understand, but some people think that they have some direct connection with God, that they know what God wants for a situation more than anybody else does. In fact, I've had people tell me, I know what God wants for you more than I know what God wants for me, right? But they're unwilling to submit that gifting to the leadership of the church. I say, that doesn't work that way. All of us have to bring our gifting under. I could say, well, I've been called and gifted to be a preacher, and so I don't care what the elders say. No, that doesn't work that way. I am under submission to the eldership of the church. And so we have to make sure that our giftings are brought under whatever authority structure God has put in our life in that context. But we should not neglect the gifting and not try and serve the Lord outside of our gifting in our own strength. Secondly, it says, take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them. The things he's talking about, the in them, is referring back to verse 13, the word of God. Take pains in the word of God. Be absorbed in the word of God. In other words, be wholly devoted to the word. To be absorbed means to be constantly engrossed in it. To take pains is to mull it over in your mind, to take care, to make sure you're getting it. And again, for Timothy's sake, and for those who have the opportunity to teach the Word of God, we must make sure that in our personal, individual lives, we are making every effort to be in the Word, to understand it to the best of our ability, to be absorbed in it. And I love this, that you wouldn't recognize, and I wouldn't recognize because I don't understand Greek that well, but the word that's used for neglect in verse 14 and the word that's used for take pains in verse 15 is a very similar word that sounds the same. The word neglect means to be careless, and the word take pains means to be careful. And so it's as if Paul is saying to Timothy, don't be careless with your gifting, but be very careful with the word of God. Okay? Don't be careless with your gifting. Be careful in the handling of the word of God. These things. Be devoted, wholly devoted to the word of God. Harry Ironside said this, no one who really wants to count for God can afford to play Christianity. He must make it the one great business of his life. And the wonderful thing that Paul reveals here is that we can't get away with fudging in this. Because he says, so that your progress will be evident to all. The word progress originally was a word used for a pioneer cutting through the way through the brushwood, making a path. It was evident that they were there, that they had done something. And this is true. Paul's saying, Timothy, When you take pains and are wholly devoted, absorbed in the Word of God, it will be demonstrated by everyone who watches. They will see the change in your life. They will see the evidence of the Holy Spirit through the fruit of the Spirit, if you will, in a person's life. But the opposite is also true. If you try to fudge on this, oh, people will know it. And one of the great temptations in our culture today for people who are called to preach the Word of God is to spend so much time in other areas. They may be good areas, areas of ministry, that we spend so much time doing that, we don't have time to study properly the Word of God. And there are certainly, as we all know, many distractions in this world that could vie for our time. And there are plenty of opportunities, if someone wanted to go out on the internet and find some great sermon outline and pull it and use it for themselves and never spend time in the Word of God, letting the Word of God do a work within you as an individual so that through that God can speak to His people. That's where I believe the Holy Spirit empowers, not through some other person who has a clever outline. It may be accurate to the Word, but if it has not come into our life, then it's hard for us to give it out. Be wholly devoted to the Word. And then, thirdly, pay close attention to yourself. And to the teaching, he says. Pay close attention to yourself. Timothy, don't let your life get off track. And I think he's referring back. Verse 16 probably is a summary. He's probably, looking back to verse 12 when he says, be an example, right, in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. Don't let those things slip. Pay close attention to yourself. Why? Because God is working through you. And then pay close attention to your teaching, which gets to what he's talking about in 13, 14, and 15. The word persevere, I love the way, it means to stay long. Timothy, stay long in these things. Stay long in the Word. If you're teaching the Word of God, stay long in the Word so that the Word can begin to penetrate into your life, so that the Word can do a work within you to change, to transform. It takes time to become spiritually mature. I don't believe spiritual maturity is a destination. It's a process, but there is maturing that happens, and it takes long for that to happen in our lives. And we must stay long in the Word for that to happen. Warren Wiersbe again says, a servant of God can be so busy helping others that he neglects himself in his own spiritual walk. That happens. And he says, when you do these things, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. What is he talking about there? Well, Kenneth Wiest in his Greek word studies says, the salvation spoken of here cannot be the salvation of the sinner, nor the preservation of the saint in salvation, for the reason that both of these are a work of God and not man. Salvation is God's work in our life, so it's not something that I can do for myself or for anyone else. He says the salvation referred to here is understood by a study of the context. You go back to verses 1 through 3, namely, being saved from the teachings of demon-influenced men. So if we go back to verses 1 through 3, it says, the Spirit explicitly says that in later times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. by means of hypocrisy, of liars seared in their own conscience with branding iron, and they forbid marriage and all those things. When we're not in the Word, and for those of us who teach, we're not teaching the Word, we're leaving people vulnerable to all kinds of craziness. But when we are faithful to be in the Word for ourselves, faithful to teach the Word as we have opportunity, and God has called us and gifted us to that, and we will ensure that we will preserve people from that. And he says that is by the reading of the Word of God, by the exhortation from it, by a clear explanation of its meaning, Timothy and his hearers will be saved from becoming entangled in these heresies. They were already moving in that direction, so it was very critical for Timothy to do this. We are in a culture where we can go off track so fast, and there are so many that are mixing truth with error, that if we don't know the Word of God, we can be easily deceived. And so we must be paying close attention to ourselves and to the teaching, so that we can ensure deliverance from ourselves and for those who hear us in this matter. So we must keep the Word central in all that we do. It has been said that sheep are among the least intelligent of all God's creatures. Not only are they stupid, but they are also one of, if not the only animal with no self-defense mechanism. They're dumb and defenseless. Well, several years ago, there was a story that came out of Turkey. I went back and was looking at the news articles. Basically, several shepherds brought their flocks together and let them graze in the field together while they went and had lunch in the restaurant. And the article says the shepherds were eating breakfast outside of the town of Givas, I'm not sure how to pronounce that, Turkey. They were surprised to see a lone sheep jump off a nearby cliff and fall to its death. They were stunned, however, when the rest of the nearly 1,500 sheep in the herd followed, each leaping off the same cliff. When it was all over, a local newspaper reported that 450 of the sheep perished in a billowy white pile. Those that jumped from the middle and end of the herd were saved as the pile became higher and the fall more cushioned. The estimated loss to the families of Givas tops over $100,000, an extremely significant amount of money in a country where the average person earns $2,700 annually. Now, please do not miss the irony of the fact that all the images in the Bible uses to describe God's people, you and me, one of the most prolific is that of sheep. One of the dumbest and most helpless of all God's creatures. So if we're going to keep from following the world over the cliff, we must pay attention to our shepherd who speaks through his word. We must keep the Word central in all that we do, both individually and collectively, as the flock of God. Would you please stand for the benediction? Our gracious Lord, we are thankful that you have given us your word, which gives us instruction. It also gives us warnings. It gives us admonitions, commands. And in this passage, there are several commands that we're given to give attention, right, to the word. We're commanded not to neglect the gifting. We're commanded to take pains and to be absorbed in the Word of God. We're commanded to pay close attention to ourselves and to the teaching, to persevere in it. And so, Lord, help us to heed the Word of God. We understand we are on a perilous journey. And there are pitfalls along the way. We know the enemy seeks to discourage, to distract, all kinds of means, busyness, getting caught up in good things but are not the best things, being distracted by so many entertaining features of this world that our senses become dulled to the Word of God. And before long, we're no longer listening. And we're hearing other voices proclaiming other truth claims that are nothing but deception and lies of the enemy. Lord, I'm sure that most, if not all of us, can identify somebody that we know, somebody that we care about. Maybe it's someone in our own family. Maybe it's somebody that's close to our family. Maybe it's somebody that we work with, somebody that we know who has bought into a lie, who is walking down a path that is leading to their own destruction. They're heading for the cliff because they stopped listening to truth. God, we cannot rescue them. We cannot help them unless we are hearing the truth, unless we are staying close to the shepherd who speaks through his word. So help us, God. Help us to become, to maintain, to be consistently a pillar and support of the truth in the world in which we live, in the context in which you've placed us as a local church in this town of Greencastle, as individuals in our community, in our neighborhood, in our workplace, in our community groups, wherever we are, help us. And the only way we can do that, Lord, is to stay close to you and stay close to your word. So thank you. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundant beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory. In the church, in Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever.